The scripture today is taken from Deuteronomy 26, verse 1 to 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall be put in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make the response before the Lord your God, "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and affected us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard your voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Please join with me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive, that breathes new life into us, that reminds us of your grace. It's in the name of the one whose name we bear, Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. This text this morning is both confessional and a doxology. Sometimes we hear words in church and we even become kind of churchy people because we get very familiar with certain kinds of terms and we don't really actually know what they mean. A doxology is a hymn or form of words containing an ascription of praise to God. We sang a doxology this morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. That's praise to God. Not just something that we necessarily go through the motions of. That's praise to God. The scripture reading this morning praises that same God that was praised way back then. It praises the same God that's going to be praised in the future. In other words, that God worthy of praise is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Praise God for a God who is more awesome than we can imagine, and yet who loves us more than we can experience or ever be open to. I say that because this same God is the God who guided these people, Israelites, a people of God. A people of God whose genealogies and stories reminded them that God never forsakes his people in the middle of a journey. Has anybody ever had a flat tire on the way to someplace? Somebody told me the other day about dragging literally a trailer because the springs had gone out in it. And so it started hitting on the wheels because it was no longer above the axle. And they just kind of stopped on the side of the road, stood against the bumper and said, "It's all yours, God." Late in the afternoon, not sure what to do, in the middle of their journey, and lo and behold, a trucker came by. And truckers are neat people. You know, they have all sorts of gadgets and all sorts of ways of fixing up things. And he was on his way then. Now, I'm not saying test God, okay? I'm not saying try it out. Take out the springs in your trailer and say, "Okay, Lord, do it for me too." But God will never abandon us in the middle of our journey. God will provide the things that we need, the things that we actually need. Maybe not necessarily what we want, but nonetheless, what we actually need for the journey. What we need for the journey to the cross. What we will need to be able to experience resurrection power here and in the hereafter. We live in a world, however, as the Israelites remembered their history, we live in a world where wisdom is often trumped by whatever it is that we think we need now. The newest and best product. New and improved, as seen on TV. Wow, this has to be good. Man, if it's on TV, first of all, I know I can trust it that it's going to work. And if it's new and improved, boy, I've been missing out on things. Holy cow, I need one now. I saw another brother in Christ just yesterday as I was driving along the highway, a pickup truck, full-size dual pickup truck. I've become well-versed in pickup trucks living in Yuma, you know, and the hitches that they have. And this had, you know, an RV camper on behind it, but then it had one trailer behind that, and then another trailer behind that. Now, did they really need all of that stuff? I'm not sure. But man, they were dragging along their toys wherever they were going to go. They made sure and had them all packed into those trailers. I'm not sure if they needed everything that they had for the journey. And I'm sorry if I offended anybody. I really am. I apologize. Hey, we all like toys. We just have to keep it in proper perspective. Is this something that I can use to build God's kingdom? Well, I'm sure you can come up with all sorts of excuses. Yeah, Pastor, I can use this to build God's kingdom. I'm evangelizing out in my dune buggy. Don't you know that? I'm praying with people. God provides for his people what they actually need. They have to remember and respond in a way that recalls that God is number one in their lives. I almost fell into a trap that I've done before. And I mentioned about this being a ridiculous statement in first service. They have to put God in his proper place. Well, folks, the reason why that's a ridiculous statement is because God is in his proper space whether we realize it or not. It's not up to us. Although we might seek to create God in our own image. We might seek to create a God that's palatable, that agrees with everything we think. You're going to be surprised. God is God, and we are his created. How do we live to show that? There are some terms that are used here. Interesting terms, and I think terms that we can recall. Honey. Anybody ever taste honey? Sister in Christ had told me if you get local honey, and then you put pollen in it, and you eat a little teaspoon of that every day, you won't have allergies anymore. Well, I said, dump the pollen. I just eat the honey straight, and I feel better about it. Bees, milk, images that we're all probably familiar with. I don't know if you were cognizant of this or not, but bees were among the first symbols adopted by Christians. Did you realize that? The fervent activity of the beehive suggesting the church. This sometimes seems like a beehive around here, doesn't it? Or maybe an ant column, people going in all sorts of directions. The hibernation suggesting the resurrection. It's interesting. And the honey offering a symbol of abundant new life in Christ. Honey is a gift of happiness and delight that accompanies an awareness of God. And milk is the abundant knowledge of heavenly things which is given in the promised land. So sometimes, as modern day Christians, we want to take things really literally. It says a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, there's symbolism here. There's symbolism here. As God's people, God is going to bless his people with happiness, delight, knowledge of him. He's also going to bless them with knowledge of heavenly things and give them the awareness that where he set them is indeed where he wants them to be and minister. The promised land, indeed. Now, I don't know if anybody driving over the mountains and the hills coming into Yuma says, "Oh, the promised land!" Maybe after a long drive and you want to park the RV or whatever it is that you're trailing along, all your trailers behind you, and you say, "Thank goodness, I'm glad to be landed." Glad to have you here, too. It's good to have you. As well as those who aren't dragging something behind them. Thank you for coming. But for us, when we recognize that God is working through us where we're at, that's a powerful and profound joy. Let me remind you once again, Lent, it's appropriate to remind you, the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness, again, is something that the world provides. We're happy because we have enough tortilla chips to finish off our salsa, okay? Important things like that. We're happy because we got the last piece of apple pie after the great concert that's going to happen this afternoon in the church. Okay, you understand happy? Joy is recognizing that God loves us. Joy is recognizing that God made a sacrifice for us on that cross, what we continue to journey towards, so that we could have life eternal. Joy is remembering that Savior that was given to us. God so loved the world that he gave. You see, God first approaches us. We don't first approach him, no matter what you think. God is the one who continues to approach us first, that Savior. And joy is the recognition that there's a Holy Spirit or an advocate or a helper that's going to be with us each and every breath. We're simply open and humbled before God. What I've just described is perspective. And sometimes we learn it the hard way, and sometimes it's more subtle. Learning it the hard way means that we continue to have our own plans and agendas, our lists of things to do, and we start thinking, fooling ourselves into thinking that this is our life to live. When actually, it's a gift of God to bless others. The first fruits that are offered remind us that as we are feeling blessed, we give back to God first. And how often society encourages that ridiculous action that I had with the apple, chomping in, grabbing it, eating it up, consuming it, not really caring about anybody else, but thinking for yourself and yourself alone. Folks, there's more to living than that. Stopping, thanking God, giving to him first. That is the message of grace. That is the message today. That is what we've been reminded of in the scripture reading. As the Israelites were reminded to give back to God first, they were going into this promised land, certainly, but it belonged to God nonetheless. When we are blessed, we remember the source of it, and we give back to God first, saying, "Thank you, Lord, because without you, where would I be? Without you, whose would I be? Without you, what would I be?" There are profound experiences that God continues to fill my life with, one of which is having the privilege of being with all of you every Sunday. Whenever you're here and I'm here on the same Sunday, that is. If we're not together, you understand, you get the point. And being able to be in worship, focusing on God first and foremost. Certainly, we might offer things to God. Certainly, we might come with concerns or brokenness or praise or celebration, but it is still solely and firstly about God. This past week, another profound experience took place as I received a call from a sister in Christ about another brother in Christ in deep need. A brother in Christ who had just had a massive heart attack. And as I headed down to the hospital, and then was arriving at the emergency room and directed into the side room, I knew that it probably wasn't good news. He died before he hit the floor. And the grief that was there was felt, was experienced, was seen. We need to keep praying for doctors, for nurses, for chaplains, for caseworkers who are in those situations, because they are truly a touch of grace in God's love. But we were also able to thank God, believe it or not, in that gathering, because our brother in Christ was a believer, and so we knew where he was. That moment of death here, he was received into glory. There, into eternity. When we give to God first, we continue to remember that God is first in our lives, the most important relationship. We have that same promise that when we go from this place, there's a place of incredible joy, healing, wholeness, and love that awaits us. Even still. This morning in our time of discipleship, I'd like you to take a few moments as you hear the music play, simply to say to God, "Lord, if I haven't been putting you first, I will now." Maybe there's something that God is seeking for you to offer, not necessarily a thing, something from your heart, something from your mind, from your soul, offering back to Him. Know that God receives everything that you pour out to Him. And whenever you put Him first, He blesses you. Even when you don't put Him first, He still loves you more than you can imagine. What an awesome and mighty God we have. Offer yourself to that God once again this morning.